We're very pleased that American Public Health Association has allowed our Western Interstate Commission on Higher Education. It's about 11 Western states which put money together to support the WICHE facility in Boulder, Colorado. And it has, WICHE has had a mental health program for years. And we have worked with the Rural Mental Health Research Center, part of WICHE, the Western Commission on Higher Education. Anyway, we're pleased that to be presenting today, and we hope that our findings may have some significant implications for the social justice theme of this conference. Our primary objective here is to show how nationally available suicide data, as well as county-level suicide data done by the states, individual states, can be used, most effectively used, for purposes of services planning and service resource allocation. And, okay, this is who supported our project.
This is
the data set that I'm going to be talking about shortly here. But first, before I do this, I want to show you multi-year suicide rates for all 50 states in Washington, D.C. And unfortunately, I couldn't get a slide done in time for this presentation, but it's on your handout. There is a handout, and there's a one page of the handouts. The back of the first page should have the state data, 50 states and the District of Columbia data. Notice that the 50 state values for suicide rates per 100,000 range from about 20 suicides per year per 100,000 people down to a little over 5 for Washington, D.C. per 100,000. And the nation's overall rate, which is not presented on that chart, was about 11 per year per 100,000 people suicides. Now, I'll share with you my astonishment when I looked at suicide rates for all U.S. counties. And I saw this chart, if we can do it, not that one, that one. I saw, and there's a copy of this for you to take home in the handout too, at the last page of the handout for my presentation. The red areas of the map are the highest 25% of the suicide rates in the United States. If you ranked all the counties, all 3,000 some counties, the 25% are red, highest suicide rates. And I was just stunned by this. You can see where they are. And it's the rural United States, and primarily the Western United States. We had planned to collect suicide data for all of these counties, not all of the counties, a selected group of rural counties, in order to try to see what we could do in this project to help prevent suicides. And Gene Demler will be talking about how we tried to do that. But basically, not through mental health people primarily, but through primary caregivers. Rural doctors, rural nurses, rural clinics. If we could do it, if we could help in that way to prevent suicides, that was what we were trying to do. But my job was to try to help pick those rural areas. And so that's why I'm going to be talking about this. Now, we had planned to collect such recent county level suicides data from the counties that would make this, we were going to collect it from state health departments and county coroners. But what we found, fortunately, was a federal national mortality data set run of the Division of Vital Statistics, which is part of the National Center for Health Statistics. Unfortunately, we found that this data set, this national data set for suicide rates by county, did not have any data for counties under 100,000 people, which meant that we had rural counties without statistical data already computed. So what we had to do was we had to ask the National Center for Health Statistics, would they give us the data on the individual suicides in every county in the United States? And they gave us permission to do that. And you will have in your handout and some help in trying to do that if you want to try this yourself. Okay, so we had to get the Fed's permission for the to use the individual suicides data, aggregate them by county, and then divide by the county population in order to get the county rural county suicide rates for the rural and frontier counties. Okie doke. So we counted the number of suicides, and after we had aggregated these individual suicides into rural counties, we then divided them, these case totals, by that county's population to obtain the standard crude suicide rate figures per 100,000 persons for each county. Now let me note right here that many published suicide rate figures have been adjusted for age, since elderly people are known to commit suicide more often than younger ones. But I have never seen any differences between crude unadjusted rates and age-adjusted suicide rates greater than one person per 100,000. I've seen it once for Utah. And the crude rate was about 16 rates per 16 suicides per 100,000. And the age-adjusted rates, because they had some older people, was 17. There was only just a little bit more than one difference. So don't worry if you're going to work with county-level suicide rates. Just don't worry about trying to age-adjust it. That's a major statistical task. The crude suicide rates will work just as well. Now, since we wanted to work primarily with more rural or frontier counties, we used a county classification system called the Rural-Urban Continuum Codes. And that's in your handout too. There's a list of those county codes. We decided to work with just non-metropolitan counties, and there were about five or six types of counties, and we worked with two types specifically. And the code 9, completely rural, no urban residents at all, or fewer than 2,500 urban residents. And then we also tried to add a few more larger counties. But none of these counties were adjacent to metropolitan areas where people could go and get mental health care. Okay, so this is what we found. In each of four states, we have the five highest rural county suicide rates on the left. And then the last bar in each county is the state rate. So you can see, if you're going to work with counties and high suicide rate counties, this is the way you can pick the highest need ones. So what we're trying to highlight here is the importance of looking at sub-state areas, namely counties, so that we can try to identify those areas where the need for resources to combat suicide is the greatest. And my colleague Jean Demler will take it from here and show how our project tried to assist these high-need areas in reducing their high suicide rates.
Okay, and I'll talk quickly since I have 5 minutes. We also looked at some data about unmet need for mental health professionals. And if you saw the other map, which I have in front of you, and look at this one, we saw all these similarities in terms of high suicide rates in the same areas as unmet need for mental health services. So my question was, what do we do about this geographically based social injustice? Well, at this point, the WICHE Mental Health Program collaborated with SPRC, the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, to address this injustice. And as many people know, folks that do complete suicide are often likely to see their primary care physician either in the past year or within the last month. So the answer then that WICHE and SPRC came up with was to develop a toolkit that could be used in primary care. These are the folks that are going to be seeing people who are going to likely complete suicide. So it's called the Suicide Prevention Toolkit for Rural Primary Care. All we're doing today is giving you a little familiarity with it, and then we'll give you places where you can go find it. It has five sections. The first one is just getting it started, helps you sort of see the whole thing and how to start. Then educating the clinicians and staff in these primary care offices. Developing partnerships with the mental health people in the area is critical. And then how do we have some tools that can help in patient management? And then a more general final section looks at patient education and other tools for the community. So I'll talk very quickly about each one of these. The first one really gives you interesting office protocol development, like if someone is suicidal, who does what, who calls whom, when, that kind of thing. And then there's also in their primary care suicide prevention practice model, and I did make a copy for you in your packet because you can't read this, but if you can look at it at your seat, you'll see it has some nice little phrases. It has the preparation phase, then prevention, then intervention, and it helps, I think, sort of say to the primary care folks, okay, here's what we're going to do in a sequence. Secondly, there's a lot of educational pieces to this. So what do we need to know? What kinds of risk factors should we be looking for? What kinds of protective factors should we be looking for? So it gives a lot of information to staff. It also gives some sample questions, because one of the problems we have in suicide prevention is what kind of question do you ask of someone you think might be completing or thinking about suicide. So it gives you all kinds of very practical tools like that. The third section looks at developing the partnerships, gives an example of a letter you can send out, also has this pocket card which is developed to be used by mental health professionals, and you can send that out with the letter. In the fourth section, there's also a primary care pocket guide, and that also, I think, is in your packet. So this is a little guide that the primary care folks, whether it's the physician or the nurses or the PAs or whoever, can have with them at all times. Then there's other tools like this crisis support plan. What do you do if someone really is thinking about it, to have a plan for a crisis, and then a tracking log so that the primary care office can actually sort of keep track of what kinds of things they're doing, if they do depression screening, where do people fall, what kinds of meds are they giving, but it's specifically for people who are at risk of suicide. And then finally, there's a much more public kind of set of resources. And one of them is some posters that we developed here in Colorado. These were developed in the Western Slope, so they're very much for rural populations. You can put these up in the primary care offices, or you could put them up other places as well. Plus, there's just like a list of all kinds of resources. And here's a second example, real men play in the dirt and take care of themselves. Now, there are two people in the room who are experts here, Mimi McFall, there she is, and Tammy DeHay, and they really are the experts. So if you want more information, please talk with them. Also, go to either of these websites, and you can learn, you can get the whole toolkit online, or you can order a hard copy. Thanks. All right. Trying to hurry.